Thank you, men. Take your Bibles now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and one verse for our text verse tonight, verse 5. The Bible says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Notice the first part of that verse, "And the Lord direct your hearts." And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is a controlled heart. A heart that is yielded to God. A heart that is controlled by God. I believe that Paul had been writing in 2 Thessalonians all about the second coming. And that's the overview of the book of 2 Thessalonians. But when he gets to chapter 3, he gets into something that is very, very practical. And I think he tells us some practical things here. Look at verse 1. "Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course." That's practical, isn't it? I need your prayers that I can preach with free course. And then in verse 3, he says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." That's good advice, and that's very practical. In verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." That's good advice, isn't it? Don't get tired in well-doing or weary in well-doing. Verse 16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with," and I love the next two words, "you all." Amen? "The Lord be with you all." And so we have the practical aspect that he's dealing with here, I think, in chapter 3. And verse 5 is our text verse. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." But the first part of that, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Now, what happens if we will let God direct us? God will give us the direction, obviously, that God wants us to have. And tonight, I want to challenge you in every aspect of your life, let God be the one who is directing all that you do. Let God control your life. That's good advice, isn't it? Let God be in control of your heart. Now, what's going to happen if God is in control of my heart and your heart? I want to mention four or five things. Number one, we will have peace. If God is in control of your heart and you're yielded to Him, you're going to have peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Do you think God meant what he said? God said, "I leave peace with you." And yet we find a lot of people that don't seem to have peace. Hearts are troubled oftentimes. And especially in our society today, seems like there's a special need for people to have a controlled heart, because of all of the problems we have in our society and what's going on politically and otherwise. And so there are a lot of books written today. Go out there to a bookstore and look on the shelf, and you'll find all kinds of books telling you, here's a way to have peace. This is a way to have peace in your heart. And they're there. Psychiatrists are telling everybody how to have peace, and people are going to them. If that doesn't work, watch television. And the pharmaceutical companies will tell you, this will give you peace. It'll make you calm. Now, it'll ruin your liver and your gizzard and everything else in the process, but it'll make you calm, amen, and it'll give you peace. All you got to do is take this pill. But I believe that peace comes when God controls our hearts. I believe the Bible teaches that if we really want to have peace, God has to be in control of our heart. I believe that 98% of the Christians spend a lot of their time worrying. 98%. I don't think that's too high. We worry about everything rather than have peace. Are you worried about something tonight? I believe we should have peace. We have trials. We have problems. But I believe we ought to have peace. In Luke chapter 8, you remember the story. And when you read through that, around verse 22 through 25, you find Jesus is in the boat with those guys, and they're crossing the Sea of Galilee and a storm comes up. And instead of understanding and believing that Jesus is in the boat with them and that the boat cannot sink because he made the promise to them that they were going to be over on the other side and that they were going to arrive over there safely. And here they were just going nuts because the storm had come. And what are we going to do? And they went to Jesus and acted as if, well, don't you care? And what did Jesus do? He rebuked them for a lack of faith. And he did it kindly, I believe, but he asked the question basically to them, where is your faith? I believe when he's in control, somehow, no matter what we're going through, we'll have peace in our hearts. It'll be right in our heart. And we'll have rest. We'll have the kind of rest he wants us to have. We'll have his presence. And thank God we can have his power in our lives. Many of you have seen the painting. It's one that is rather famous of a storm. And the artist captured a little bird in the storm. And the little bird is there in the refuge of that bush, that tree. And that little bird is singing a song. That's the way we ought to be. If our heart is really fixed on the Lord, there will be peace when we rest in him. Secondly, I believe there will be direction. If our heart is really fixed on the Lord, we'll have peace and we'll have direction. I believe that's why Noah knew what to do, because his mind and his heart were fixed on God. And God told him what to do, and he did exactly what God said to do, and it worked out very good for him. I believe that others did the very same thing. They looked to the Lord. Moses was 80 years of age whenever he was called out to do that task. But I believe as he looked to the Lord, he had peace in his heart and he knew that God was directing him because he was resting on God, looking to God to direct his life. Elijah was a prophet of fire. But Elijah followed God. And Elijah's heart was fixed on God and he knew what to do. And one time God said, Elijah, go hide yourself from the people. And he did that, and that was what God wanted him to do. And then God said, now I want you to come back out. I want you to come and not hide anymore, and even go before the king. And his heart was fixed on God. That's why Moses and Noah and Elijah and these great men of God and some of the women of God in the Bible knew that. I want to encourage you tonight, let God, not circumstances, not anybody else, not your mate, no one else, let God control your heart. And I believe this, if you will let God be in control of your heart, you'll always know what you should do. If he's not in control, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. If he's not in control, you're going to make a lot of wrong choices. But as long as God is in control of your heart, he's going to direct you. And I might add, God is always on time. And everything comes on time, his time, if we just get in his time and let him control all of those circumstances. It always is on time for God. A lot of people laugh at us. They make fun of us for believing that and for really knowing that. And we go through problems and we say, I know that God knows what's best. Well, let them laugh at us. That's all right. We don't mind that. Because it is a fact, it is a reality that God does know what's best. And as long as he's directing, things are going to work out all right. I read a story about a man who went to church. And this man got real sick at church. And he was unconscious for a little while. And then he gained his consciousness. And he went to his car and he said, I'm going to drive home. His wife obviously was a little nervous about that. After that had happened to him, but he put his hands on the steering wheel, sat down behind the steering wheel, and he began to drive home. But he was confused in the process. But all the way, his wife would say, turn here, do this. We need to go that way. You're not going the right way. All the way home. And that's exactly what we need from God, to lean on him. Sometimes it gets confusing, doesn't it? By the way, who's the author of confusion? The devil, amen? And he will try to confuse us. But if we keep our minds and our hearts on God, on His Word, His principles, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, then thank God we know that we can have His direction. I believe that I am where I am tonight because I depended on God and I let God direct me. Now, I'm glad about it. I've been here 13 years. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but that's God's providence for you, so you'll just have to accept it. Amen? But I believe that when I had to make up my mind sitting on the other pew that used to be right about there on a Sunday night in January after the church voted and they wanted to know what my answer was going to be, I believe I had the direction of God in my life. I was depending on Him, believe me. I've been at a church 20 years. The ministry was going good. We love those people. We were in a smaller city, and God said, move. And people said, well, what was wrong? Nothing was wrong. God said, move. Hey, what's wrong with that? Lean on God, and God will give you direction in your life. And then I believe that a fixed heart is going to give us power. If there's one thing we need today in our churches and in our teaching and in our preaching and in all that we do, we need the power of God. You're familiar with it, but just turn back right quick to Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. And most of us are very familiar with this verse, but let's be reminded of it. Verse 8 says, Acts 1:8, and this, of course, was the promise that God gave to His followers. He said, but ye shall receive, what is it, Clay? What does He say? Power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. God tells us that we're going to receive power. He told them, and I think that promise is for us. And I believe that God promises power for those today whose heart is stayed on Him, and people who are leaning on Him and trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God gives us power. How about temptation? Anybody here ever get tempted? Don't raise your hand. I'll guarantee you, you probably got tempted today, maybe one way or the other. Some of you probably were tempted not to come to church tonight, but you went ahead and came. Amen? I mean, we have temptations of all kinds. And everybody knows that as believers, even though we're saved, we do have temptation. Now, how in the world are we going to overcome that temptation? Our hearts must be fixed on God and His Word and know that He said, with every temptation, there is a way of escape. Whether it's a temptation to sin or a trial in our lives, God gives us the way out, and we just need to take that way. There's power over temptation. You say, well, I'm a quiet person and I'm a very shy person, and I just don't think I can do much for God. I don't think I could teach a class, or I don't think I could get up and give a testimony or whatever. Friend, with the power of God, with your heart stayed on God, you can do it. I'm a living example of that. You would not think it, perhaps, but I was always a shy, bashful, backward kid. And I hated to give an oral report in the English class. And that was just my nature. I'd rather go in a corner and just hide from the whole situation. I was so shy, that was me. But I believe this, if you'll keep your heart and mind stayed on God and depend on the power of God, God can take anybody, and if you'll lean on Him and let Him empower you and keep your heart stayed on Him, the consecrated person is going to shine for the glory of God. By the way, Christian service is not always just a matter of public preaching or public lecturing or teaching or public praying. The service for God, Christian service, many times is just absolutely standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and no matter what people say, not being ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let all know whose side you're on. That's good Christian service, and that'll help. I believe we ought to have more than that. But you know, a star doesn't talk, doesn't really speak. I know that some musicians teach that there's harmonic, there's tunes in it and all of that. We heard some of that when we were there in Mexico. But I believe that they do not necessarily talk, but they do have a testimony for God's glory, don't they? Because who put them there? They have a steady stream of light and a beam that shines continually. And when I go out and look at a star or some stars, you know what it makes me think of? Almighty God, who created the stars. Now, a flower cannot sing like a bird. I heard a bird sing the other day after the snow, and I thought that bird's mixed up. But it was singing after the snow. We didn't have many birds singing in Indiana after the snow. But a flower cannot sing like a bird. But a flower can give off a beautiful fragrance. And a flower can be where it is with all of its luminiferous beauty and bring honor to the glory of Almighty God. All I'm saying by a simple way of illustration is if you'll yield to God, it doesn't matter who you are. If your heart is fixed on God and you know His power, you know who He is and what He can do, then you depend on His power and God can take you and use you for His honor and for His glory. Just be submissive. Be submissive to God and remember the Holy Spirit, He said, is going to come and ye shall receive what? Power. God will do it. What kind of power? Power to serve. Power in temptation. Not only that, but power to witness for God. I'm going to give you power, and if your heart is fixed on me, then I believe that you'll witness for me. I believe you will witness for me. I believe witnessing is important. Amen? I believe it's important to witness for the glory of God. I believe it's probably one of the most neglected things among the Christians and in our churches today. Oh, I know I've heard the other arguments. I've heard the guys come up and say, now, preacher, I want to disagree with you on that. I want you to know that I think I can be a witness without ever saying a word. Well, I know there's lifestyle witnessing. I understand that that's part of it, and that is important. But if we understand Acts 1:8, God said, you shall be witnesses for me. And then if you follow that through, Paul preached and Peter preached, and others preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't convince them, what about going into a court of law? And here you are as a witness in a court of law, and you know the truth, and you know that that man either did not kill that person or that person did kill that person, and you have all the evidence, especially to somebody who needs to be freed from that. And you sit there and you can sit in that courtroom and never say one word and it will not help that person get off. You see, we need to speak up and say, hey, I know what happened. And we need to be willing to tell what the Lord has done for us. And it needs to be more than lifestyle evangelism, though that's important. You witness, I've said it many times, it'll be no stronger than your lifestyle. But your lifestyle is not your only witness. We need to speak up. And we need to speak out. And the reason we don't is our minds are not, and our hearts are not stayed on God. If they were, we would speak up. We wouldn't be so cotton-picking proud and too ashamed of the gospel to tell people how to be saved and to ask them if they know the Lord. We should do it. And do it regularly and frequently. Not only that, if our mind is stayed on God, I believe there'll be order in our life. There'll be order in our life. He'll give us peace. He'll give us direction. He will give us power. And I believe He'll give us order in our lives. If our hearts and minds are stayed on God, I think that that will often take away the confusion. And I know this is a first cousin to direction, but I think it's a little different. For instance, when you're going through trouble, when you're going through some of the deep heartaches, and you're looking at God and you'll understand and say, yes, I can accept that because I know God has allowed it. And some of you tonight are going through problems. I know that. I know some of you and I know what you're going through and I know many of the rest of you that I may not know it. You've got some problems in your life that you're going through one kind of another and you need some help. And that help, if you'll lean on God, is going to come from Him. What about sorrow, heartache, disappointment, the death of a loved one that was unanticipated? Something came into your life, a tragedy that you did not expect. I heard of someone just the other day whose child was killed unexpectedly in a car accident. There may be disagreements, all of that kind of stuff. But you know what? Out of all of that, God can give us order if our hearts and minds are stayed on Him. Corinthians tells us, 1 Corinthians 14:40, all things should be done decently and in order. Boy, I wish Baptists would listen to that, don't you? I wish all Christians would listen to that. Everything ought to be done decently and in order. There's no room for slipshod ways in the church and what's going on and how things are done. We're doing it for the glory of God. And I believe if our heart is fixed on Him, we'll have order. In other words, in our own lives, our hearts are fixed on Him, and we'll get back to this stewardship. I believe that we will use our time properly and orderly in a way that pleases and honors God. Oh, there are a lot of things we can do. It's not unlawful for us to do them. But there are some better things that we can do if we are fixed with our hearts and minds on God. There'll be no waste of time. There'll be no waste of talent. If our minds and hearts are fixed on God, and we have an ability to a Christian when it's sanctified and set apart to God, it's not just a talent, it is a gift. And Christians understand, God has given me a gift. And so when our mind and heart is fixed on God, we will take that gift and we will use that gift to the maximum for the glory of God, whatever it may be. If we can sing and there's room in the choir for us, we will say, God, my heart is fixed on You and I want to serve You any way I can. And I will get in the choir and serve You. And if it means a little extra rehearsal time and coming and paying the price, my heart is so fixed on You. I love You so much that I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to use my time for You. I'm willing to use my talent for you. And certainly I'm willing to give my tithe for You. I believe if your heart is fixed on God, it'd be no problem for you to get the order right. And the first fruit goes to whom? Not the IRS, my soul. But it goes to God. The first fruit goes to God. And then above and beyond that tithe, which is basically what you already owe God, then giving by faith above and beyond that, and then God honors that. If our heart is fixed on Him, I don't think anybody has to be prodded and begged and pleaded. It's a shame that we even have to have stewardship month. It's a shame that we even have to have some of those things. It ought to just be the fact that God's people's hearts are fixed on Him. And they say, there's no question about it. He has the right to the first tenth and the gifts, the tithes and the offerings that I give to Him. And then another thing I believe, if our hearts are fixed on God, will be accomplishment. Now, our theme this year is each one, reach one. Now, I believe that's doable. How about you? I thank you for the 20 amens. Where's your faith, folks? Each one, reach one. Isn't that possible? Sure it is. Not only is it possible, God expects it. But each one ought to reach one. You know, I love the book of James. I suppose of all the books in the Bible, maybe other than maybe some of the Psalms, I love the book of James. Because it's a book about works. And Baptists are saved by grace. Thank God we're saved by grace. But you read the book of James, friend, and he talks about being justified by your works. What does he mean by that? Is that a mixture of grace and works? Absolutely not. Justified by works. How? In the eyes of those who are looking at you, not God looking down. When God looks down, you're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And only by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here without Him tonight, you'll never get to heaven until you get under the blood. If I hadn't said anything else important tonight, I can tell you that. You'll never get to heaven until you get your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But and after we are saved, our life and our hearts ought to be fixed on God. And James reminds us, as he says in chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We have a lot of hearers, but a few doers. And as people look at our life, they ought to see accomplishment. They should see Worth Baptist Church reaching new horizons, going forward, going upward, reaching more souls, baptizing more people. I'm so glad we had some to baptize tonight. I told my wife, I said, man, I'm concerned about the fact last year we had so many more baptized by this time. But maybe God's turning it around right now, and I'm happy to be able to baptize some, and we're just in February, but thank God people are getting saved. We want more people to be saved, amen, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So James says, be ye doers of the word. Oh, Gideon was a doer of the word. God said, I got to trim your budget down from 32,000 to 300. But I want you to go on and do what you're going to do, and I'll be with you. Keep your heart stayed on me, Gideon. And they went in there, and it wasn't any problem for them to do what God said, and they conquered the Midianites. God took care of it, amen? Amen. God took care of it. Paul said in 2 Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've run the course. I've run the race. I've finished my course, all of that. And he gave God the glory for it, but he said, I'm in a race, and I've finished it, and I've done all I can do, and I'm glad that I did what I could do. But Paul had results. And then he died as they took his head off in the Mamertine prison there in Rome. But he finished his course. And thank God we still read from his writings that were inspired by God and given to us to this very hour. I want to ask you tonight in closing this message, is your heart, this is Valentine Sunday, is your heart stayed on God? Is your heart under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is God directing your heart? Your heart and mind are tied together. Obviously, you know that. Your emotions, where we make our decisions. As we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, we should have our hearts fixed on God. And God should control our heart. Now, if you've never been saved, He'll never control your heart until you come to Christ and get born again. Most everybody here tonight is probably saved. There may be somebody that isn't. If you're not, God can never control your heart until you get saved. And when you accept Him into your heart, then you can live that life of a controlled heart. I'm telling you, it's the way to live. It is the way to go. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and I just simply ask you, are you saved? Have you opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him come in? Trusted Him as your Savior. If not, do it tonight. Then I ask you, is God in control of your heart? Are you sure? Do you see the power in your life? Do you have the peace in your life? Do you have direction in your life? Are you accomplishing things for God? Are we doing that? Are we having order in our life? I think those are the things that will be there. If it's a fact that God's controlling our heart, let Him control it. Father, bless those that need to come tonight. Bless in this invitation. Thank you for some who've already come. Oh God, I pray that we may keep a controlled heart. Help us to search our hearts tonight and see if any of these things are not where they should be, and know that that's the reason. Help us to bring our problems to You and our needs and our questions and our guidance that we need. Ask You for it and to let You control our hearts. Speak to us. Help that person who may not be saved to come to Christ tonight. In His name we pray. Amen. Will you come?